Well, perhaps Thomas Wolfe said it best, "You can't go home again." These words are known to many, and they resonate with the gospel story that you heard today. Some people do attempt to go back to their roots or the place where they grew up at one time or another, with mixed results and ambivalent feelings. After all, going home has its perils, as Jesus found out, but he did it anyway. Jesus, son of Joseph and Mary, resident of Nazareth, it was a homecoming of sorts. He returned to his hometown and he preached in the synagogue, and at first the people were amazed. "Isn't this the carpenter's kid? We know him. Pretty amazing things that he's saying and doing, wouldn't you say? Who would ever have thought he would have turned out like this?" One minute they were all duly impressed with his learning and his performance in the synagogue. And yet whatever happened, a few minutes later they were trying to hurl him over the cliff at their rage at the message they presented to him. Was it something he said? For the people who lived in Jesus' hometown, their knowledge of him as a youth prevented them from seeing God's power in them as an adult. We don't know all the reasons why the Nazarenes treated Jesus the way they did. Maybe they didn't like it when one of their own succeeded at something. "She forgot where she came from," or "he's getting a little too big for his britches." It's a story that many of us can identify with because it's a story that plays out time and time again, and even in our own lives. Too much familiarity apparently can breed contempt, and it did. And yet I'm reminded of another old adage about home, from the famous line from Robert Frost, who said, "Home is the place where when you go there, they have to take you in." Home is the place where when you go, they have to take you in. Well, I suppose there could be a few in-laws that you might not want to take in, but that would be the exception. But apparently there was no room for Jesus. There was no room at the inn in the beginning. And there's no room for him in Nazareth today. Most of the people in Nazareth didn't care to take him in or to receive him at all. And as you heard, they surged forward ready to push him over the cliff. And yet somehow he escaped and left town. Most of us think of our home, when we think of our home, we think of safety and warmth, a place of rest and renewal, a place of belonging and nurture. For many people, the image of home is rooted in deep childhood memories. Often there is a particular house or neighborhood, a particular set of people associated with those memories. But the adage about not being able to go home again is born of the reality and an experience that we grow up and we move away. We go off on our own, but even when we go back home, it's never the same. Over time, home becomes something that is reconstituted in new places with new faces and new experiences that we seek out. But Jesus' homecoming at the synagogue, as you know, did not go well. At first, the folks were proud of him, glad to see him, and excited at what he became. But then they grew less enamored of him as they realized the extent to which he had changed. He had grown. And he learned all kinds of new things that he didn't get at home. Things that the locals found hard to accept. Truths that they ignored or maybe had never known. Like hanging out with the Samaritans. Hanging out with sinners and other unsavory types as Jesus was wont to do. So Jesus broadened his horizons. He experienced God in new ways. And they were not so sure that they wanted to hear about and accept those experiences. Leaving home means coming in contact with foreigners, folks not like us, who can transform our understanding and open up new vistas. I really experienced that when I left a small town in West Virginia and moved to Chicago to go to seminary. It just doesn't get much different than that. It can upset the status quo. It also means coming of age when one leaves home and tries to return. It's not only the place that has changed, but the person themselves has changed. So the story of Jesus' call to leave home points to something that lies at the heart of the human spiritual quest. As young adults, if you can think back to those days, we lived our lives balancing our need for comfort and familiarity of home, but also the pull towards independence and moving towards the future and what it might hold. It's both exciting and scary. We have a 23-year-old right now that's just going through those kinds of throes. He's left home. He's having the college experience. Every once in a while, he calls mom and dad to check in, but he really wants to have his own independent life as he should. So once Jesus left his father's carpentry shop and became a prophet, it was very hard for even him to find a place to call home anywhere. He was an itinerant preacher, always on the go. He said later on in Luke, "Foxes have their dens, and birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." And surely he meant not just a physical home, but a place where his teachings would be accepted. For he often met with hostility, particularly, ironically, hostility among the religious leaders of the day. But Jesus and most of the Old Testament prophets were called to speak the truth in love. It can get you in trouble. It often caused them to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. And afflicting the comfortable in the name of God is thankless work, as the prophets soon found out. I would say things haven't changed too much in over 2,000 years. Prophets are still not welcome in their hometown, in many places, or even in their own countries. Nelson Mandela, for one, stands out. These are voices who criticized others in power. Voices that speak up for freedom, for the marginalized and the oppressed that are still silenced by the powers that be all over the world. The Republic of Belarus is one example today. But here's the thing, God's love and mercy knows no boundaries, and that's radical stuff. Not always to be accepted by the local townsfolks. So you really can't go home again. Not even Jesus. Of course, home is not just a physical place, but a mythological journey towards wholeness and meaning, an effort to be at home in the world and in your own skin. Leaving home means the end of naivete. Just ask Adam and Eve. They were banished from the idyllic Garden of Eden, and life would never be the same. And no doubt they often longed to return, and yet they could not go back. 5 or 6 years ago, our family went back to the little town in eastern West Virginia where I was born to conduct a memorial service for my elderly aunt. And after the service, I decided to show my family around the town where I grew up. But looking back, maybe it wasn't such a good idea. The family bakery that my parents owned was now a shell of what it once was. In fact, it was now a hair and nail salon, of all things. It seemed sacrilegious. No more smells of fresh baked bread. No more piping hot donuts and cookies and cupcakes in the front window. And the letters that spelled out Davis Bakery were no longer on the building. But there was a weathered image of the letters pointing to where they used to be. Well, our next step on this little journey was my high school. It was now a warehouse for the local pulp and paper mill, one of the only employers left in the little town. And then there was a trip up the hill to my elementary school. It used to sit proudly at the top of Kenny House Hill, but now it was demolished. It was very odd, just a few steps leading up to nowhere, leading up to nowhere. And finally, we made our last stop to our old homestead, the house where I grew up. Shingles were falling off the roof. Some of the windows were broken, and others were boarded up. A couple cars in the open garage suggested that someone still lived there. My backyard that used to serve as the neighborhood baseball diamond and football field was now a place for scrap metal and weeds. It was a hard day. There was no way back. It was no longer a young man's playground and paradise that I remembered. Memories that were now tinged with sadness. And I thought of all the people that we knew and loved that used to line the streets. But then we went back to the little Presbyterian church on the corner where I conducted the memorial service for my aunts. And you know, some of the people were still there that I knew as a child. I'm sure they didn't recognize me any more than I recognized them. They had to tell me who they were. But they spoke fondly of my aunt. They told stories of where we grew up and how they came into our family store. And then the part that got me is that they went back to this case with glass on it. And they brought back a picture of me on the Sunday school basketball team 50 years ago. And then they brought out the trophy that we won the championship that year. I guess some things never change. But the constant theme that was still there and hadn't changed is that those people still embodied God's love and they were still endeavoring to care for others. So maybe you can go home again in ways that really matter. They still loved their church, and they were doing all that they could to make sure it would be there for the next generation. Maybe you can't go home again, but you can always go back to God. He'll be waiting. Home can be more of an existential, spiritual reality than a physical place where we live. And that's the main point I want to make today, that home can be more of an existential, spiritual reality and not just the place where we used to live. There's an ache in the human heart that can only be appeased when we experience a deep and intimate relationship with God. We may travel far and wide to find God, only to discover that he or she has been within us all the while. For some, that makes God hard to find. They don't think about looking within. It's a funny thing. We thought we were looking for home, but maybe we were looking for God all along. St. Augustine was fond of saying, "Our hearts are restless until they find rest in thee." So when you discover your true self, and I mean true with a capital T, you will also find God living in you and looking out. I've been reading Richard Rohr's book, Immortal Diamond, that talks about this subject. God is closer than you think. Jesus must have left Nazareth that day disappointed at how much the locals failed to comprehend, for they rejected not only him, but the kingdom of God. After all, it's not every day that the local kid claims to be the Son of God. But there's another deeper sense in which I hope we can use the word home today in this country. For so many come to this country looking for their own home and a new start. I hope we can be a place where children who were separated at the border from their parents can find a foster home until they are reunited with their parents. I hope those making a dangerous and desperate journey from Guatemala can find a home where they feel safe and secure in this country. And I hope there are more churches like ours that can be a place where refugees can feel safe and cared for and find a home away from home. And we continue to be a spiritual home for gay and lesbian folks who have not felt at home in so many other churches, as Michael talked about last week. Sometimes it seems like everybody is just trying to find their way home. These are some of the places that I think Jesus would call home today if he came back, where there is hospitality and acceptance for all of God's people. On this 4th of July, it's hard to feel free until all are free. As we remember our forefathers and mothers, ironically, who came to this country in search of freedom and a place to call home. So how can we deny others today when they come here looking for a place that they can call home? Let me close with another story from one of our favorites, Anne Lamott, our local, from her book, Traveling Mercies. She tells a story as a young girl, how she grew up in the streets of San Francisco. You're probably familiar with the story. And she got lost, and so she flagged down a policeman to tell him of her plight. And so there they were, cruising the city streets, safe inside the police car, when all of a sudden she hollered, "Stop!" She said, "Thank you, officer. I'll be getting out here. You see, that's my church, and I can always find my way home from here." Well, that's how it is for Christians, and how it is, I suspect, for many of you who have called First Congregational Church your home for decades. No wonder people who, when they move away from here, feel a bit homesick, as Patty Trosclair would tell you. I think we all felt a little homesick because we were away from here for 16 months during the pandemic. So on this first Sunday back in this building after 16 months, let me say, welcome home.